Last Lord's Day, I failed to mention about May the 29th being Memorial Day and having this holiday set aside to honor our fallen who gave their all in service of their country. I do want to mention it today, even though it's past. So I apologize for that. Having been in the military myself, I have a great appreciation for those fellow servicemen and women who died in the defense of our country. Now, as we studied together last week, we were looking at the question, why should we be a Christian? What if someone were to ask us, why should I be a Christian? What would we tell them? 1 Peter 3:15 tells us, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And so we want to continue our study this morning as we looked at three excellent reasons why we should be a Christian last Lord's Day. Number one, and this is the main reason, because Jesus suffered and died for us, making it possible for our salvation. Number two, because being a Christian is the best life possible. That's right. And number three, because being a Christian helps us to overcome life's many problems. So we want to pick back up with reason number four this morning, and we'll do just that, Lord willing, in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning, yes sir, to PFE, and we all should know what that stands for, and we should be doing something about it, preparing for eternity. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville. Yes, sir, we study God's precious Word in our Bible classes, and as we assemble together to worship God, we're striving to do so in accordance to the New Testament pattern, and of course with a proper attitude. That would be in spirit, but in truth, of course, is following the pattern that God has given us, John 4:24. And I can assure you, you will be very much welcome, very welcome. And so now we want to mention this. If you're interested in a Bible study, please let us know. We'll set it up at your convenience. And if you have Bible questions, comments, positive or negative, you can send those to us. And again, the address is 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151. And the phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get back to our study as we're asking this important question, and it's eternally important, of course. Why should we be a Christian? And here is reason number four. Because death, the judgment day, and hell are a reality. Now, man can deny God. He can live his whole life in rebellion against God. But he cannot escape death. Standing before the Lord to give an account, he cannot escape that. We're all going to stand before the Lord. And we're going to receive our just reward or punishment. That's right. And that cannot be escaped. Now, Christians who are faithful in the Lord's church should not be afraid of death. Of course not, because the promise of God is sure. God keeps his promises. 2 Peter 3, let's notice verses 8 through 11. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? That's right. Now, this is not global warming or climate change, as the woke folks want to tell us is coming soon. This is God's doing, not man's, and we should accept the truth and not listen to those who are in disagreement with the Word of God. Now, that's a good reason, again, though, to be a Christian. It's not the main one. Of course, we're not becoming a Christian because we fear hell. Well, we need to realize that it's real, and those who do not obey the gospel, those who do not remain faithful in the Lord's church, that's going to be their final destination. We need to understand that. But that's not the main motivation, of course. But we did need to mention it. It's certainly a reason to give. But let's go on and look at reason number 5. And this, of course, is the contrast. Because of a place called heaven. You see what I'm saying? The contrast here of our eternal destiny. It's either going to be heaven or hell. No in-between place. And we know life upon this earth is very short. It's flying by, is it not? Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. It's gone. We should be preparing for eternity as we name the program. That's the most important thing we could be doing. 2 Corinthians 4:17-18, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, we could be suffering greatly, but it's just for a moment. It worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We don't see heaven with the physical eye, but we can see a glimpse from the Scriptures as it's described to us. What will it matter to us on the day of judgment if we have gained much worldly goods and we have much power and we have a tremendous fame throughout the world? What will that mean on the day of judgment? Matthew 16:26. Our soul is worth more than all the world, and we should not want to exchange it. But notice, heaven, yes, is a place of no mores, no hunger or thirst, no more separation, no more death, no more sorrow or tears, no more pain, no more curse, and no more darkness. As you study Revelation 7:17-18, chapter 21:1-8, chapter 22:3-5, that's right. This is the glimpse we have of heaven, a place of no mores, and God's presence, standing around the throne of God, singing praises together. Won't that be glorious? Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, seeing Him the Holy Spirit, the angels of heaven, and all those babies who have been aborted will be there. All the little children that died will be there. What about us? Think about it. Reason number 6. Why should we be a Christian? Because true unity is found only in the Lord's church. It's no secret that there is much division and confusion in religion, but God is not the author of confusion. 1 Corinthians 14:33. No, sir. Religious division, in fact, is condemned by the Word of God. Look at 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. The Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writing to the Church of Christ in Corinth, they had division. And Paul, notice, again, by inspiration, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ," in other words, by the authority of Christ, here it is, "that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." That's condemning division, isn't it? Well, of course. To be of the same mind and the same judgment, you have to follow the same pattern, the same standard, the gospel of Christ. As Jesus faced the cross, he prayed for true unity, which included the Church of Christ today. This is John 17, the Lord's Prayer before he went to the cross. He prayed for himself. He prayed for his apostles. And then in verses 20 through 23, "Neither pray I for these alone," not just the apostles, in other words, "but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I and them, and thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." You see, this is true unity. This is the true unity that Jesus prayed for, as he and the Father are one. And it's found only in the true church of the Bible. Ephesians 4, let's notice 3 through 6. Here we find the seven ones of unity. Let's notice this together. "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." So notice again, there's one body. That's the one true church, the church that Jesus died for, the church that's purchased with the blood of Christ. It's his body, the spiritual body of Christ. There's one head. That's the Lord with all authority. So you have unity of organization, not all this division in the world of religion, but the one body, the true church. One Spirit, the Holy Spirit, inspired the writers. Thus, unity of revelation. "Even as you are called in one hope," there's unity and purpose. And notice, one Lord, authority. Jesus has all authority in heaven and in earth given to him. That's unity of authority. One faith, the doctrine, the gospel, not many faiths. No, sir, unity of doctrine. and one baptism. Unity in practice, not different baptisms, but one. And one God and Father of all. Unity of worship. That's right, the seven ones of unity we are to appreciate and stay with. And this is a reason why we should be a Christian, because true unity is found only in the Lord's church. Isn't that marvelous? But we don't see that in the religious world. Of course not. How many different religious groups are there? And people think that this is okay in the eyes of God. Where are you going to find it in the Bible that there's many ways to heaven? Can you prove that by the Bible, that it's acceptable to have all these different denominations? That means division, doesn't it? Can you prove that by the Bible? No, you can't. You can try. Go ahead. Study yourself into the truth. You'll see that there is one body, one true church, the church of Christ, because it's His. He possesses it. Should have His name, should it not? Well, of course. But let's go on. Let's look at, again, reason number 7, why we should be a Christian. Why should we be a Christian? Because being a Christian glorifies God. That's right. And God is worthy of our love and devotion and trust. You see, we were made in the image of God. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Let us make man in our own image. And God made us that way. In other words, we have freedom to choose to do His will or to reject it. We have the ability to reason and comprehend. We have an appreciation for beauty. And we have an eternal soul. Now, if God made us serve Him, He would not be glorified, would He? And some people think, why didn't God do it this way? Or why didn't God do it that way? Because God is God. Period. He knows everything. He's perfect. And we need to accept it and desire to do His will and glorify His holy name. Romans 15:6, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That's right. God gave us this life, this body that we have to live in. It will be gone when we die, goes back to the ground from whence it came, rots, in other words. But our soul lives on. Our spirit was given us by God. Now, we are either serving God or Satan. It's one or the other. What has God done for us? Given us life, given us a beautiful planet to live on that supports our life. The beauties of creation are there for us to observe. He's given us the opportunity to do His will or reject it. He sent His Son into the world to die for our sins in order to be able to be reconciled back to God. After we sinned against God, we have to have a means of reconciliation, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the only begotten Son of God. That's the love of God. That's what God has done for us, and on we could go. Now, let's ask, what has Satan done for us? Well, he's trying to get us to turn away from God, trying to get us to go in the wrong way. That's what he's done for us. And what has that been for the world as we see these situations? Now, notice Joshua 24:15 in the Old Testament. Choose this day whom ye will serve. There's the choice right there that they had. And we have the same choice, to serve God or to serve Satan. Notice Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't do both. It's one or the other. Thus, we need to make the right choice. Have we made the right choice to serve God and to seek to glorify Him? That's again a reason to be a Christian, is to glorify God as we live our life in accordance to His will. You see, He did give us that right, that free moral agency. Yes, there's sin and evil in the world, but it's because man made the wrong choice to do his will instead of obeying God, to succumb to the temptations of Satan, our enemy. That's right. That's why there's sin, evil, suffering in the world. Adam and Eve lived in paradise. They were perfect when they were created. But when they sinned, they lost fellowship with God. They died spiritually immediately, and they died physically later. That's what sin does, separates us from God. And we need to be thankful that there's a means in order for our salvation to be reconciled back to God. And excuse me, that's through obedience to the gospel of Christ. So as we close out our study of this vitally important question, eternally important question, why should we be a Christian? Well, we've given seven reasons, but that's not all that could be said, of course not. But these seven reasons should convince anyone who has an open mind and an honest heart in receiving and obeying the Word of God in becoming a Christian, and a Christian only. Now, let me ask this question. Who can give a reason why we should not be a Christian? Think about that. Who can give a reason why should not we be a Christian? Well, some may want to joke about it, mock or whatever, but it's not a valid reason, is it? Of course not. There is none. God has done His part. And Satan says, why not be your own God? Remember that in Genesis 3:5? Ye shall be as gods when you eat of that forbidden fruit. Looks good. Oh, it's going to taste good. And I'm going to be my own God. Eve succumbed to the temptation. 1 John 2:15 through 17, we are seeing that still being done today. Satan uses those three avenues of temptation to get us away from God and to do our own will and not God's will. But God has done His part. The grace of God has appeared unto all men. It's available. Salvation is available to all. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, if we're of the age of accountability. We all have sinned at that point. So, what is our choice? To follow Christ who died for us? Or to follow Satan who lied to us? Ye shall not surely die. He lied. He's the father of lies. Remember that? Ye shall not surely die. Well, they did. Now, we have the right. God has given us that right to make the choice of doing His will or not doing His will. Why are so many choosing not to do the will of God? Because they are deceived. They're not seeing it for what it is, obviously. Who wants to go to hell for eternity when the Lord comes again and judgment day is here? What are they going to say then? It's too late. Oh, I should have, well, should have and would have and all that's not going to work. No excuses will be accepted. Now is the time to do the will of God, not put it off like Felix. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for you, he said to Paul. We don't read about that convenient season coming about, do we? No, we do not. So let's be sure that if we have not obeyed the gospel, that we're going to do so, and do so today. We can study further with you, clear up anything that may be holding you back, show you from the scriptures what one must do. We'll assist you in obeying the gospel. In fact, come to service today. We meet at 9:30 and 10:30 worship, 6 p.m. worship, and we'll come here in between if you want us to. Of course we would. And if we are a Christian, are we able to give these answers to those that would ask us of the reason of the hope that is in us, and do so, of course, with meekness and fear? But here's what we need to be able to tell everyone what to do in order to become a child of God. We have to hear the truth. That's how our faith is going to come. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It can come no other way. Romans 10:17. Now, we're ready to believe. Except ye believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins, Jesus said in John 8:24. Now, the next step is the most difficult one. That is repentance. I'm going to have to give way to do God's will and release my own will. My own thinking is saying, you know, do you do it this way? No, I've got to allow God to direct my steps. I'm going to turn away from a life of sin. I'm going to follow Christ and His example. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3-5. Acts 17:30. It's a must to repent. Acts 2:38. Now, having repented, I'm ready to make the good confession, which is unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10. I'm going to state that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God before others. Acts 8:36-40 is an example where the Ethiopian did just that. Now I'm ready to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of my sins, Acts 2:38, Acts 22:16, Romans 6:3-6. We thank you so much for listening today.